Oh, Chaos, it was adorable because he had to leave for Scouts, and I'm like, oh, you're missing a good episode tonight. Because he knows we're doing the podcast, right? And he's like, oh, which one? I'm like, yes. And he's like, Space Seed. I'm like, no, we're not doing Con.
So, yeah. So do you remember this one?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Is there any particular reason?
Well, A, it's one of the most parodied parts of the show.
All right.
B, it's the most famous Kirk got his shirt ripped in, like, ripped open.
Okay.
It's also the Gorn, who doesn't remember the giant lizard men. Oh, it's just everything about it. There's a lot of little things about it that keeps coming up over and over. I wouldn't have been able to tell you based off the name alone, but seeing, like, a single still. It's like when we with Trelane, right? Or Tremaine, or whatever his name is, the Q episode. It's the same thing, where it's like, oh, one picture. I know exactly what we're watching. This is freaking amazing. It's a great episode. I'm down, you know? And I think, as well, I don't know, are you recording at this point? Because I can say this if need be.
No, I am. That's why I asked.
No, I just want to make sure.
Okay.
And I think as well...
And, you know, and, like, thank you, because sometimes I will say that and I will not, and I won't be recording. Like, that's happened lots of times already.
So. No worries. I just wanted to make sure, because, like, this is something that I feel like would do well in the show, is, like, a piece to add.
Yeah, let's hear it. Let's hear your Gorn thoughts.
I feel like at this point, now that we're getting into, like, you know, mid to late first season, is when the show figures out its footing. This is where it starts to really get, okay, no, this is what we're about. This is what we're doing. This is what our show is. And being able to build from there. And I feel like this episode, The Squire of Gothos, like, there's a few episodes that we've got
is coming. Tribbles, like, coming up?
Tribbles is coming up midway season two, actually. That came up earlier as well with Chaos.
Okay.
But, like, we've got a few episodes right in this meaty chunk, which is part of the reason why we want to do so many of them, try and get me to sit with you and Saint and have, like, the whole team here, so to speak, with Weebs as well, right?
Yeah.
This is where, like, they really got their stride. They got down. We know who our characters are. We have the... Everything is set up so everyone who's watching the show knows who the characters are. They know whose relationships are who's best friends with who might have undisclosed sexual tension with who. Like, all of that stuff hits now. And... we've seen it with a couple of the episodes just before this. And in the earlier ones, yeah, there's some really choice, pretty decent episodes, but they're all around the same level of, like, okay, but not really amazing.
Okay.
And then we've gotten to, like, the really amazing episodes now, where just kind of, I feel like the series overall, not every episode, but overall, it's more consistently good.
It's starting to figure out what it wants to be doing.
Yeah, it's gotten out of the awkward teen phase, and it's now that young adult who's just like, okay, let's party.
Speaking of partying, are you familiar with a franchise about two young gentlemen named Bill and Ted?
Yes.
Have you've seen their films?
I've seen Face the Music and the other ones.
In the middle movie, which is, it could be argued that it is the best. I talked about a character named Station for about 10 years.
Oh, I love Station.
In that movie, they're watching Star Trek, or at least, maybe both of them are. At least their evil twins are watching Star Trek.
Okay.
And they're watching this episode.
Yeah, unsurprising.
And then they drive out to the desert to be murdered, and it's on the very famous rock. I almost feel like we've seen the rock, the specific rock.
Well,
that we see
up,
maybe already in the show, maybe not.
I don't know for sure in the show, but it
maybe
has come
Twin
up
Peaks.
In. Maybe. I mean, I haven't been keeping up with, like, I've not been watching Twin Peaks with you guys, so it could have. But I know, like, it's come up in a lot of television. It's a really famous rock. In
very
general,
famous rock here, yeah.
And it I don't know how famous it was pre-Star Trek, because obviously it wasn't alive back in the 50s, but, like, modern day, I feel like to a degree they are using it as much as they do just to kind of nod to Star Trek, but also it's just really good as a generic rock for, like, but distinct rock that feels out of this world, you know? It doesn't feel like it's earthly.
Do you think this rock could have appeared in Vice Principals?
No, Vice Principals didn't do stuff that would be there. But I know Big Bang Theory uses it.
I feel like maybe not me and you, but like I have seen this rock in something that was viewed on Discord recently. I feel like it's very possible that it already appeared on TOS. Maybe not. We haven't seen a lot of outdoors stuff other than, I don't think it was in Shore Leave. Could have been.
No, Shore Leave I feel like was all in a park, and this is out in the desert. So if I remember correctly, when I saw Big Bang Theory and they talked about it, there is some, not necessarily in the show, but like peripheral conversation, maybe, I don't remember which, about that specific rock. And it's not far outside of town, but it is outside of town.
Sure.
And it's just in the desert. It's not like in a park or anything. It's just like, it's like driving to the Grand Canyon, but a lot closer to a major city. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And at least from my understanding of the Grand Canyon as well, considering, again, I've not been to most American national landmarks. And definitely nothing out that far. Yeah, furthest west I've been is like Kentucky. I don't know what highway it was, but it's like the I-90 or something like that. We took it from Canada straight down to Florida.
Yeah, so I mean, that's not west at all.
No.
Okay, I mean, it's, I guess, but yeah.
That's my point. That is my point, though. I haven't been out west in the States. I've been to Massachusetts, and I've driven, again, I think it's the I-90. That's the only highway that stands out. But there's one highway that goes, like, all the way from, like, I don't remember if it's Buffalo or further down, but one of the crossing points from Canada into the eastern states, and then, like, straight south. And it goes through, like, we went through, like, Kentucky and a bit of Georgia. Anyways, yeah, that's my point. I haven't been out there. But yeah, no, it's we're in that meaty middle where the show starts to really get good and really figure itself out and start taking off. And hit, I think we have more consistently good episodes coming up than the semi-slow, dry ones, you know?
Hi, Weebs.
Hey, Weebs.
What's up? How you been?
Been okay.
That's good.
Do you know which episode this is where Kirk fights a guy in a lizard suit?
Yeah, only because of Mythbusters.
Oh! Where they,
was it really on Mythbusters?
They tried to mix in different things to make gunpowder.
Yeah.
It's the Gorn cannon. Yeah, I looked it up just now while you're talking. Oh, man, I never saw this.
Do you remember Bill and Ted, their bogus journey?
Vaguely.
They watch this episode in that movie.
Ah.
And then they go to the place this was filmed at.
I gather it's a classic.
Oh, I think that, yeah. It is. There's been a lot of parodies of this particular guy. And, yeah, I think a lot of the imagery of Kirk, like, you know, with his shirt torn open, battling a lizard man, comes from this.
Thirst trap Kirk.
Yeah, right.
Now I'm trying to think about it, and there's only a couple of episodes that I think are in this level of famous outside of specifically nerd circles, you know? There's gonna be like this one, Con, I think hits there. I don't know, there's only a few of them that really
Tribbles,
stand out.
Probably
Tribbles 100%. Yeah, there we go. That was the other one I was trying to think of that. Yeah,
about, yeah, people know about the Gorn and about Tribbles,
they do. And I mean, The City on the Edge of Forever is one of the most famous Star Trek episodes, period. And I don't think outside of nerd circles it's nearly as well regarded.
I think if you said that title, yeah, people outside of Star Trek fandom go, bleh.
Yeah, and even if you describe the episode, they still don't know what you're talking about,
yeah,
right? Whereas,
that's
like,
true.
If I turn around and I'm like, Arena, and people are like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, oh, the big giant lizard dude who rips Kirk's shirt wide open.
They have
and,
a boxing
oh,
match.
Yeah, no problem. That one, or even Pon Farr, which I can't remember the episode title, but the Pon Farr episode with Spock and Kirk having to do the fight to the death.
Oh, man, yeah. That's not even... I have no idea.
I think that's going to be up there, though. I think, because, again, that specific scene has been parodied so much that mainstreamers get it, not just nerd circles, you know?
I thought Ponfar was the hormone disorder.
Ponfar's the once every 7 years. It came up on Voyager as well. Once every 7 years, Vulcans have to mate. And when it came up on Voyager, right. It was Tuvix needed to mate and couldn't. Thank you. He needed to mate and he couldn't. In this one here, Spock needs to mate, and I don't remember how,
You can either fuck or you can fight to the death.
Yeah, and for some reason he chooses not to bone his wife, but have a fight with Kirk.
Is his wife there?
There is a Vulcan chick. I don't remember the episode. I remember the fight. I don't remember the episode otherwise really clearly. But the chick who was there was a Vulcan. It's the first time we see the Vulcan salute, and the actual Vulcan queen or whatever she was, like the person in the chair, had to get her hand in position off camera because she couldn't actually do it. She couldn't do the salute by putting her hand up and then going into the salute. She had to set her hand up in advance and then raise it already in the salute. But there's another younger Vulcan chick, and I vaguely think she's like Spock's girl or some shit, but for whatever reason, they don't bone. He decides to fight Kirk instead.
Yeah, I
don't remember the specifics very well.
I do not remember a TOS Ponfar situation.
Yeah, it's they've got like the two-handed weapons where the it's like the half circle blade at the top connected to a long pole, and then have like the big weighted bit
that's
on the end.
That's what they're fighting to the death with.
That's the Ponfar episode.
I'll tell you what I remember. Yeah, when Tuvok is going through it, something's going on, and Janeway's like, give all power to this fucking relay or whatever, you know, or all power to forward shields or something. And someone's like, we don't have any power. B'Elanna Torres is like, all the power is going to the holodeck because Tuvok is fucking his imaginary wife in there, and if we interrupt him, he'll go berserk.
But if I remember correctly, they do interrupt him. They do end the hologram because he goes and he prays a pile. Or was the praying before that?
I think before that, and then he's like, you know what, the praying isn't working. I'm going to go fuck my imaginary wife.
Okay.
And put the entire crew in danger.
It's been a while since I've seen the episode, but yeah, I know for sure Ponfar has come up twice. Once in TOS, once in Voyager. I'm sure it's come up elsewhere. I just know there's two episodes specifically that are focused around it, you know?
Tuvok does have some kind of Vulcan condition, and there is some other kind of Vulcan condition that Vulcans can get that is other than Ponfar. I don't know if that's what you were thinking about originally.
Warwick, it's one of the engineering dudes who's also Vulcan. He gets Ponfar and tries to make B'Elanna his mate.
Yeah.
Right. He infects her. Yeah.
He passes it on to her because Klingons have a similar or a reaction to pheromones or something. Yes. Yeah. So that's, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of Ponfar going on Voyager.
Vorik, V-O-R-I-K. I just looked him up. V-O-R-I-K is the guy who bites B'Elanna.
Does something happen to him? I feel like he's in a couple episodes in the first, like, one or two seasons, and then you don't see him anymore.
He's in, apparently, 8 episodes.
Yeah, so that's a lot for a background character.
It looks like, if I'm seeing this correctly, I think the episode with B'Elanna is his third episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the third episode of 8.
So I'm not sure what happens to him, but...
It's called a blood fever. I don't think it's... I don't know if it's actually Ponfar or if it's something that's mimicking Ponfar. I'd have to read a lot more of this than I can.
Because he's able to pass it to her?
Well, yeah, and the episode's called Blood Fever. And the blurb for it on Memory Alpha is, quote, B'Elanna Torres experiences symptoms similar to Ponfar after being attacked by Ensign Vork, who is also undergoing the blood fever. And so that's why I'm not sure if the blood fever is supposed to be just another name for Ponfar or not. But I'm flipping between two.
Yeah.
Ages of theirs, because I'm trying to see if he's lived to the end of the show or what's going on.
Yeah, I don't recall exactly if it. Yeah, if there's a reason, there might be some kind of back. They might have some kind of virus from the planet that allows her to catch the Ponfar from him, or it might just be. I don't remember.
Works in TNG 2, though, right? And that episode where Bajoran chick dies.
I don't know if the Bajoran chick dies off the top of my head because I'm bad with episode names.
She very famously dies. It's terrible.
No, but I don't know if that. I don't remember if that episode is my point.
It is.
Okay, that's, but yeah, he plays Taurik, T-A-U-R-I-K, in the episode Lower Decks of TNG. Wow.
Oh, so it's one of those, we don't exactly have the rights to this character, so we're going to change his name to...
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, it feels like it, you know what I mean? We had that with Lunkarno in Paris, too, so... Shit happens. They try to use their characters off again.
There's a whole bunch of two.
Mr. Lunkarno.
Okay, so what... He was on the writer's shortlist of recurring characters to kill off in Friendship One, but
Friendship Brian, One.
Friendship One. The episode Friendship One, mm-hmm. which was a Voyager episode. I think Voyager episode.
Yeah.
He was supposed to die there, but
that's Brian an upsetting Fuller, episode too.
Brian Fuller and Michael Taylor decided on killing off somebody else instead. So he survives. He's actually. In one of the video games, Star Trek Voyager Elite Force.
Yeah.
So if you're in engineering, he's there. Warwick is there.
Cool.
Okay, yeah. Friendship One.
It's the probe episode.
Yeah, an ancient Earth probe flew to this planet, and they took it apart and either tried to emulate technology that it had plans, or they tried to emulate the technology of the probe, and they all radiation poisoned their whole planet inadvertently. And then they get a bunch of Voyager crewmates as hostages, and they execute some of them. But but not Borat.
Janeway sent down Chakotay, Tom Paris, Harry Kim, Joe Carey, and Neelix. And Joe Carey's the one who dies.
I was about to say, which one dies?
But yeah, so they were going to send Vorik down, and then they sent Joe Carey instead to die.
Yeah, if you're going down on an away mission, and it's all your name crew, is Joe Carey, don't go.
Also, it's everyone's bridge crew, and then there's you. Like, you're the goober. Everyone else is protagonist. You're fucked. Yeah,
so this one is Arena.
Arena is awesome.
Let me say thank you to all of you for being here. Let's watch it.
Do you want the details or no?
Oh my gosh. Please tell me what the details are.
It's episode 18 of the first season. It's directed by Joseph Pevney. Written by Frederick Brown, with the teleplay by Gene L. Kuhn, who I'm pretty sure we've had come up before. And it was originally aired January 19th of 1967 with a 7.9 out of 10 on IMDb.
Awesome. Let's take a look at it. Kirk fights a guy in a wizard suit.
Woot.
Hello, and thank you for listening to The Least Ready Room. This is a podcast on the internet where Dave and Chris, I'm Dave, talk to our friends, Saint and Weebs, and sometimes some other people about every single piece of Star Trek. Well, we're sticking to visual media. We're sticking to TV shows and movies right now. I don't know how specific you have to be to be like, you know, four-dimensional... based to serialized narrative Star Trek things. I guess we're not talking about any books or video games or comics yet. We'll see. Right now we're trying to watch every episode of... Boy, that was a good one. That was a real concise explanation of what we're doing here. Thank you, Dave. So, today, if it's not already obvious, we'll be talking to Arena. We're going to talk to Weebs and Chris on this one. And, and at the end we'll talk about the question of the week. The question of this week was something like, what would you least like to fight in an arena? What's next week? Tomorrow is yesterday? Is it going to be a question about fighter jets? Stay tuned till the end of this episode to find out. Let's cut right away. Let's cut back to... myself and Chris and Weebs talking about arena. I was about to say that in TOS, it seems like so far there have been multiple episodes that end with some either godlike or just very advanced race going, "Oh, you humans are not prepared to meet us yet. Perhaps in a few centuries you will be advanced enough to come to our pleasure planet." But.
Yikes.
But we don't end up seeing any of them again. I don't think
we see the Q again.
Well, yeah. I mean, the again part is, you know,
mm-hmm.
Trelane, you know, he wasn't, you know, really specifically. He needed a mirror with a machine inside of it. You know what I mean?
No, I get it.
But I mean, from, you know, from a writer's perspective and the fact that they did, you know, dig into a lot of these ideas again. Sure. But, you know, I don't recall ever hearing about a Metron again. Is that what they were called?
I believe something like that.
Yeah. there may have been somewhere else I was going with that, but I don't know where it is now. How are you guys feeling?
I'm okay. Confirmed, it is Metron.
Okay.
I'm okay. Slow night.
Cool. Cool. Is that, I mean, that's good. It's nice to have a slow.
Yeah.
What are there other, is there something else called Metrons?
There's the Metatron that comes to mind.
Ah, that's what it is. Yeah.
Okay.
Played by
the late great Alan Rickman. Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I am very much aware that that is right.
Definitely what I was, yeah. That's what was rattling around in my head.
It's a very famous role of his, and he did so good in it.
Any other Metatrons other than Rickman? Is there
There's one in Supernatural.
What about the ex-Doctor Who and the vampire from Twilight that are boyfriends?
David Tennant and Michael Sheen are
good omens.
Crowley and Aziraphale. They are angels. They are not the Metatron.
Do they know a Metatron? Are they friends?
Do speak to a Metatron. It's not John Hamm. John Hamm is one of the archangels.
John Hamm is a funny guy. He was on 30 Rock.
That show is friggin' amazing, and I love him in it. If you haven't watched Good Omens yet, I strongly recommend it.
Oh, no, please continue to recommend it. I don't mean to interrupt
it. It is so good.
Yeah, I agree.
We've watched it a few times now. It makes us laugh every time. And season 2 was even better.
So in this episode, the crew comes upon, they go to an outpost at Cestus 3, which has been annihilated. It's been destroyed, is what Kirk says during the cold open. And when they beam down there, somebody's bombing the place actively. There's actually a lot of explosions going off, like practically, like on the set.
Yeah.
Like the first 10 minutes or so of this definitely has a lot of Kirk and Spock, like, rolling around across gravel that's being exploded by an invisible
enemy. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Spock actually gets hit with something flies right at his person.
They've all got, I want to say coal dust. But they've all got, burns and charcoal all over them because they've been blown up multiple times while this little outpost has been under assault. And actually, is this one of the... I shouldn't say, is this the first time? Because what I should say is, does someone actually say, we can't beam up because Sulu, don't you dare take the shields down? And while your shields are up, we can't beam up? Is that part of the plot of this?
Yeah, I think so. Because they're trying to attack some other ship, but their deflector shield is impenetrable.
Yeah, and they might refer to them as defense screens. But
yeah.
I feel like everything is screens in this series. Everything is
screens and beams, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely, the reason that that popped into my head and I wasn't sure if I had missed it is I definitely recall Kirk telling Sulu, don't you dare drop the defensive screens. And I was like, oh man, is that why they can't beam up? Are we doing this? Is this the first time? But eventually Kirk fires an atomic mortar shell at the invisible enemy, the one on the surface. And does the Gorn ship start running away? Is that why they're like, okay, beam us up? Yeah, because they're like, let's fucking chase it. So they're like, all right, let's drop the defense screens. Let's beam up Kirk and Spock and everyone that's very thoroughly blown up. It's pretty grim at this point, actually. Kirk is going like, well, if an enemy destroyed one of our outposts and they're one ship and they attacked, you know, a Federation ship and they did all this stuff, we got to hunt them down and kill them all. That's what Kirk says.
They've got to set up how primal humans are, right? How not civilized. So that later in the episode, it makes sense.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they got to lay it on. Yeah, for sure. They've got there's one survivor of Cestus 3, and he's like shell-shocked and screaming about, you know, how these aliens came and burned everyone and attacked out of nowhere. And Kirk's all like, before they get back to wherever they're invading from, this is an invasion and we have to destroy this ship. And Spock, you know, Spock does his Spock thing and he's going, well, you know, Captain, these are, we gotta remember the regard that we have for sentient life and, you know, probably consider maybe not killing these guys.
Shaw, that's not how Kirk works.
Kirk really is like, nah, we're gonna fuck him up. Let's go get him. So they're chasing these guys. Until suddenly, and I realize this is, I mean, my summary of this is actually going to be somewhat short because there's really a lot of, again, running around out in, just after we did shore leave, like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
We again have a lot of running around out in the open wilds of California, which is delightful to see. But there aren't a lot of things that really actually happen in this episode, in my opinion. But the Metrons... please.
No, I've said I agree.
Oh, okay. But yeah, so the Metrons, which are, you know, some kind of... At this point, yeah, I think maybe what it is that at this point there are so many races in the galaxy that are so much more advanced than Starfleet. At least that's the way this show is presenting it. Like, I don't know, you know, how it figures in historically with the rest of the timeline and stuff, but, like, it just seems like so many of the races they meet are so advanced that they might as well be Q, that we just, you know, Kirk just and his Enterprise just can't understand what these aliens are doing, and all these aliens are going like, oh, cute, a little human spaceship. We'll talk to you in a couple hundred years, maybe.
Yeah, grow up first and then come say hi.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Trelane's parents, Charlie X's parents,
Charlie X's parents were dead.
the guy, well, oh, so not his parents, the
The
spirits
surrogate,
that raise
yeah.
him, yeah. The guy
The
that
green
runs
guys.
the all the green guys except the Orions.
And Baltok's monster.
Well,
He's
Baylock,
green. Yeah, Baylock. There, that's the name I was looking for.
but he's also, I mean, he's not super advanced, but he's also like, I'm gonna fuck with you because I'm in it from some advanced race, so I mean it's kind
He's
of the
more
same.
advanced than humans.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. A lot of these have, anyway, there's a lot of Q-coded stuff going on in a lot of these episodes, I guess is what I'm saying. Kirk and, so, big reveal. Oh, did I even say what the Metrons said? They say, "We're you, Captain Kirk, and the captain of the enemy ship. We're gonna have you guys fight it out, and we're gonna put you on a planet that has materials that you will be able to use to construct lethal weapons. According to MythBusters, it would be very difficult to do this." It is really funny the way that he just one at a time discovers the various minerals that he's gonna need to use.
It takes him no
Yeah.
time at all to find them, too. It's
Yeah,
like
it's
they're
one
conveniently
after
put in
another.
place. Yeah.
It's real gamey. It's
It
real
is.
like, yeah. And even, yeah, we've even got Spock talking about what materials he needs to find. But at first they wrestle around a little bit for an extended scene of outdoor rubber suit wrestling, which, yeah, we talked a lot while we were watching this, that the guy in the rubber suit must have just been melting in there. It looks terrible. Like, man, out in the California desert in a
Yeah.
green rubber lizards. It doesn't look like, I mean, it looks like green rubber. I mean, it looks like a thick suit.
Yeah. OSHA approved, I'm sure.
And he's doing a lot of hissing too. Hissing and gurgling all over the place. That probably isn't even like Foley or anything. That's probably just the guy gasping for breath in that fucking thing. Yeah, Kirk tries to drop a rock on him. The Gorn has sharpened one of the first elements. I guess it's not an element, but one of the first materials Kirk discovers is there's diamonds all over the place that are sharp but too small to use as a weapon on their own. But the Gorn is a big chunk of one that he's sharpened, so that's what he's using. And at some point, the Gorn just starts talking to him. I don't know if the Gorn is just like yelling in English and Kirk can hear it.
I don't think it was particularly clearly like shown how it was happening, just that it was happening.
It almost seemed like it could have been telepathic or somehow coming through. They're both given these recorders that they're supposed to record the experience so the Metrons can use the recording to warn people to not come into Metron space.
That's weird.
That's the Metron's motivation here, which is hysterical. Anyway, but yeah, so at some point the Gorn starts talking to him. It's not really, is it, does he speak back? Is there any kind of like, or is the Gorn just like, slow down, you know I've beaten you, I'm gonna come kill you now. Maybe just for,
Shits and giggles.
or maybe just for our benefit, for kind of the horror of it.
Maybe. That is possible. I mean, this is still the teleplay level of TV, right? So,
Exactly, yeah.
and this actually has a teleplay. This is one of the ones that they have a teleplay written, so.
Oh yeah, but while the Gorn is while they are talking a little bit, the Gorn explains that Yeah, they I guess they are having a little bit of a dialogue because the Gorn is saying, you know, you built an outpost in our space. Our space was being invaded and we fought back, which like they fought back by melting everyone that they saw, which, you know, so it's morally gray. It becomes morally gray and Spock is right. And yeah, like I was saying, Spock is back on the ship going, he needs potassium nitrate and charcoal and sulfur, and these are all really gamey. They're all veins of minerals he's seen. I love the way it's presented because there are, you know, this place, Vasquez Rocks, where it was shot. There's a bunch of, like, it's layered sedimentary rocks, and there's a bunch of kind of natural shelving in the rocks that they've filled with various powders.
Veins of sulfur?
Yeah, veins of sulfur, like fucking World of Warcraft or some shit. Spock knows potassium nitrate when he sees it. Spock is very versed on what various white powders look like on a TV screen.
But well, he is the one who likes to watch Star Trek on Star Trek, right? So.
That's right. And that kind of happens. The Metrons, the reason Spock is able to weigh in is because the Metrons are like, you guys seem like you're going to be really sad when your captain dies. Let's put it on the TV for you. So the crew's sitting around watching the same episode that we're watching.
Meta.
In which Kirk finally combines all of the elements, it's so video gamey, to build a bamboo diamond chemistry cannon. And when he fires it, it explodes like a cartoon cigar. And grievously wounds the Gorn. But when he refuses to murder the Gorn, the caretaker or whoever, again, whatever Q-type figure it is this time, shows up to do our little... I'm not complaining, but I feel like we have seen this ending 4 or 5 times now, basically.
We've seen it a couple of times.
I'm like, the caretaker. You guys are cool. I mean, they're like, you know, he's like, it's great that you didn't kill the Gorn. We'll let him go. You guys can go. You're awesome. We thought you were monstrous race of barbarian ape men, and you let the lizard man live. So congratulations, Captain Kirk, you win. Working Gorn cannon, yes. What I was just reacting to was the video from Mythbusters that has been posted, so I'm going to check that out too, but yeah.
They really say come to our pleasure planet? Or is that ad hoc?
That was sort of ad hoc. I was referring to shore leave.
Yeah.
I don't know if he refers to it as a pleasure planet, but he's like, in a few... Well, actually, he's like...
I don't know if that was the one that... Someone has said, come back later to our pleasure planet. I don't know if it was him. The pleasure planets have come up.
The term pleasure planet was mentioned in... I think it's the Salt Vampire one. Yeah, it is.
Where it is there, yeah.
The dude... I don't know if it's O'Reilly or some other Irish guy. But I don't think O'Reilly... Anyway... it's some red shirt looks at the salt vampire and he's like, he thinks it's this woman that he met on like Wally's pleasure planet.
That wasn't Riley. I don't remember who he was, but it wasn't, yeah. Riley.
Riley's only in 2 episodes and one of them is space drunkenness.
Yeah.
And the other one is the conscience of the king.
Which he dies in.
Mm-hmm. Poisoned with Windex.
Yikes.
Yeah. So how did we get it? Where did... Yeah.
I don't know. This is all you.
We were definitely on a thread just now.
Yeah, but then you just kind of kept going and going.
Well, I guess this. Well, I guess this YouTube video is actually someone getting the Gorn cannon to work. MythBusters said it would not work, but MythBusters also, according to Weebs while we were watching it, said that the mixture would have to be very, very precise. And while Weebs was saying this, we're seeing Shatter just with handfuls of sulfur, handfuls of his various powders, just pouring it into his bamboo tube cannon. Well, I guess I was going to say that on Shore Leave, the guy says, like, we're a much more advanced race than you, and we will, you know, eventually we'll trade our technology with you or whatever when you're a little more. We're going to do a prime directive on you. But then he's like, but get everyone down here. They can enjoy our pleasure planet. Come down here and imagine some things and make some print, 3D print some people that will melt into goo tomorrow.
It almost begs the question of whether or not, like, they're actually doing the prime directive thing, or they're just like, yeah, fuck it. Like, is this...
Yeah. So, yeah, a lot of Q, a lot of caretaker types so far, and... Yeah, I don't know. I guess, a little bit, like, a lot of these ideas just end up kind of getting consolidated into the Q, as we know it, and... You know, in the 390 shows that we know, that we know that the most about.
Talking about, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I don't know. I guess it's really classic, but since I'm starting to feel like I've seen a lot of these things before, I'm going to give it a 7.
Weeps, do you have a rating you'd like to give it?
Yeah, I'm kind of at 7 myself.
Cool.
I'll give it an 8.
Okay.
I love the show. I love, like, this episode is really iconic. Yeah, we've seen a bunch of it, but it did kind of, it is like the thing that endured, you know what I mean? So sure. I feel like it deserved a little bit higher.
I love the Gorn suit. Yeah, good costuming. Good practical effects. Excellent. Yeah.
I mean, was better than the Giants.
Well, there's some boulder throwing in this that is reminiscent of the Giants.
Yes, but at least they are trying to make me believe that there are these, like, you know, massively tall things throwing them and not just, like, general humanoid, you know?
You know what we decided they looked like when we watched it one Friday?
Mm-hmm.
Grimace from McDonald's. There's a bunch of... They're fucking Grimaces outside of the shuttlecraft banging on it with a boulder.
Oh. I can see it. Triangle people.
Yep. With giant Slim Jim spears. Tree trunk spears. Well, thank you guys for watching Star Trek and talking about it.
Thank you as always for
hosting. Thank you.
I feel real super rad about a lot of things.
Yeah?
Yeah. Watching Star Trek amongst them.
Good.
It's good to feel super rad.
Yeah, I agree. I got a bunch of things to do. I'm glad that I have things to do. I'm glad, yeah. Okay, thank you for listening to The Least Ready Room. Here is the question of the week. The question of the week for this episode was... What character or creature from TOS would you least like to fight in an arena? And then I added, if you like, you can also tell me about who you would like to fight. And if you really want to tell me about non-TOS characters, I will allow it. I like to, you know, allow the questions to be open-ended, because people usually are like, is this allowed? Well, anyway, Raven answered, I suppose off the top of my head, the worst one would be Apollo. And if we are allowing minor characters, he'd just swat you like a bug with his huge hand. I don't remember Apollo. I guess we'll get there. That was if we're allowing minor characters. I put an and in there because I don't know how to read. Of the main cast, this is Raven's answer continued. Of the main cast, I'd say Bones. He doesn't give a shit and would just cut an artery until you bleed out. Spock might be the most merciful, so he'd be best to fight if you just wanted to survive. One nerve pinch or death grip and it's over, hopefully harmlessly. Saint says, God, there are so many, but maybe the lava creature from TOS that spits molecular acid. Yeah. Pretty much invulnerable, and I don't want to be dissolved in acid. Alex said, can I say the Borg? Because technically and definitely the Borg. Pete says, Sulu, because I don't want to fall in love. Weebs says, Riker's dad because he cheats, if TNG is allowed, and I, of course, allowed it. So that was the question of the week for Arena. Our episode coming up next week is The Future is Yesterday, or something like that. There are jet fighting planes in it, and we're actually, yeah, for whatever reason, the question of this week, this upcoming week, this was a possible question to be used for Arena. I think it might kinda, there's some brushes with disaster anyway. I think the timeline might almost get erased or something. This next episode is another Prime Directive episode, except it doesn't quite get mentioned. They don't quite say Prime Directive until we get to the Landru episode, I believe. But we'll see. We'll see how it all shakes out. Anyway, the question is going to be, have you ever had a brush with death? Tell me a scary story. I feel like there was another part. Like, yeah, tell me about your brush with death, or, yeah, or just a time you got really, really scared. You can make stuff up if you want. If you want to answer the question of the week, or answer it in future weeks, or just hang out and talk to us, you can join my Discord. That's where this discussion takes place. It's where all these podcasts begin and where the question of the week gets posted and answered. You can get a link to my Discord by going to koyadk.tv, and you can support me and this project by buying soap from me at lakehousesoaps.com. I got other social media things and websites and stuff on koyadk.tv. Both those websites, some combination of the information you glean from either of them should be whatever you need to know about me. So thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. We will be back next week with Tomorrow is Yesterday. And yeah, happy Star Trek watching or something.